to most all of you, probably all of you. Here we are back in Vienna, a name that's a little bit strange to me because I've never been to Vienna. The only Vienna I ever heard about was Vienna, Switzerland, or Austria. Vienna. Vienna. I remember Vienna sausages. But I love it here. We come up from Jackson, and it was absolutely beautiful. There's no traffic, and everything was beautiful and green. Been rather hot in Jackson, although July was perfect. But here it's a little bit cooler. My wife has been looking forward to coming back here. This is her favorite place. So we're back here just about 3 days away from our 49th wedding anniversary. So I married when I was 13, though. See, my wife was just 12. So we're not quite as old as we look. Although Mr. Polk knows, I've already told him. I thought he was going to faint. My hair dye is working. My facelift is working. Everything is working on me. My wife has always been the lovely person that she is. Sermons are always difficult to give for any minister, and any of you guys that give sermonettes, you'll understand that it's not easy to get up here and open your mouth in the name of God because you're speaking for God, and Mr. Hill did a great job. The trials of Job. All of us have had those trials before. Look for them because they're going to come. God allows it. Well, He's already told you. I don't have to tell you anymore. I was going to say that we can stand up here all day long, as I've been doing for many, many years speaking. And as some of you know, I speak around to different churches because I love to travel around. I don't like to stay in one place. So I told Dr. Ricks, unless I travel around, I'm going to quit. He said, no, you can't do that. I take care of the Memphis brethren. We tried a while for a group in Jackson. It didn't take. We just simply did not have the stability there. I think Anthony has been there a couple of times with our campaigns in Jackson. It just didn't have any stable people. They had one stable family there. And you can't start something like that. In some of the other areas, Roger Blackburn and myself has tried to start areas like northern Arkansas, over there north of Jonesboro. And we had people there, about 25 people, but how shall I say without denigrating anybody at all? They're not the right people that we're looking for. There's just what instability. Some of them had their own little groups going, and we knew that there was problems there. But I know something about you. Dr. Ricks has told me, and I've talked to Mike and told him how proud I was of you and your stability to be able to stand the tests and the trials, because you have had divorce in this family right here. And God hates divorce. I will say no more. We've had it all over the country. And God is not through winnowing His church. The last thing I've heard Mr. Ted Armstrong say, that God is still judging and winnowing His church. But you say, we're not big. We're not big enough to do any good out here. We're supposed to be lifting up our voice like a trumpet, showing Israel their sins, you know, America. Where is their voice? Right out here in front of me, and those like you. God never has a large, shall I say, ecclesia or call out ones. It's always been small. That little flock, we shall always be small. Just quickly, I just want to say, do not ever denigrate the day of small beginnings. You'll read that over in one of the Old Testament chapters. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. God is going to get His job done with or without us. Don't ever forget that. But He's going to do it with us because we are the ones that are stable. We stay with it. God has placed us where we are, and that's where we belong. So whatever we say up here, I hope you take to heart, because I feel I've given this sermon many times before. It is the closest to my heart of any sermon that I've ever given. It's one that I gave in Tyler when I was down there, because quite frankly, I don't hear it enough. And I hope that you'll take it to heart and take other things that's been said to heart, because, you know, you may not get another chance, brethren, to hear another sermon or sermonette or to greet your brothers and sisters. For many of them have already gone asleep. I hear about it every day. We've lost 4, 5 in Memphis in the last 5 years, leaders. It's devastated those people over there. God is going to do His job with what He's got. Gideon, God says, Gideon, go gather up an army. You've got to go over here because the Philistines were attacking Israel, carrying them into captivity. He said, Gideon, get over there and get you some men. Get over there and stop it. But Lord, I can't do it. I've got nothing. Who am I? He called him a man of valor. He said, what are you talking about? I'm not a man of valor. Anyway, when God finally convinced him, yes, you are, and you do what I say, he went out and got 30,000 men, and he winnowed that down to about 10,000. My figures may be off a little bit. But anyway, by the time God got through with all those people that he called to do that job, 30,000 of them, 300 destroyed those evil people in Israel, those Philistines, 300 with God's help. With the 30,000 he started with, how much is 300? About 0.8. Think about it for a while. Ponder it. God doesn't need an army to do His work. We're it. But there are qualifications that we must. And we're actually, as Carl was talking about, the very end result is about these trials and troubles, is that we want to be in God's family. We want to be here. We want to be with Christ when He comes. And we know the commandments of God. We know His holy days. And we may be able to have all the truth of the Bible and know all mysteries. That ain't all it is to it, brethren. Infinitely more. And you need to know. You already know, but I just want to impress it upon your hearts again. What would you say was the greatest virtue in the Bible? Love. Ah, come on, don't start that. You know about love. You know we love. We know how to love. We don't. Did you know that there is about 25 words in the Bible with the English word love, and it means something different in the Greek? Did you know that? You just go through that Greek lexicon, and you just over all the way through 2 or 3 pages of different kinds of love. I want to center on one that is required of us. And I wonder and still wonder, why did Jesus Christ, our Savior, have to command us to do that? Since we have the Spirit of God, and I believe that we do, what do I have to do to fulfill that command, which is required? Because Jesus said, do all that I've commanded you to do, that is, before this command. And after you've done, required all the requirements of the law, you're still an unprofitable servant. Unless, Jesus said over in John 15:9-4, said, no greater love is there that a man lay down his life for his friends. I just wonder if we really understand what that means. As you know, there have been martyrs in the past, in the Middle Ages, who've literally laid down their lives for each other. And Christ said that the time will come when brothers would be betraying brothers in the tribulation. God's church has always had tribulation. We have been the most fortunate of all because of America, the birthright people. It's nice out here. It's wonderful to live in America. Try living under the Roman emperors. Try living under the dictates of that great universal church who slaughtered millions. Tough. I'm thankful for America. And I'm thankful for God's church. I'm thankful for you that you're so stable. You're here every time that I've come. And my wife is not wrong. I said, wait a minute, we lovely people down there in Fulton, Mississippi, and lovely people, you know, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and you what? You like Vienna Church better? I think she's got it right. There's something about you, a stability that maybe you don't even know. My wife is never wrong. I told her when we got married, I said, look, you can make all the little decisions, but I'm making all the big decisions in this family. Well, so happens it hadn't been any big decisions made. All been little ones. You all know the scripture. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. The Bible, the New Testament, is full of it. And there are commands, admonitions, without which it could keep us away from the kingdom of God unless we're accomplishing this. Because if we can't love each other now, and I'm speaking about the kind of love, I'm going to go through some of those Greek words, but it is, and they're all closely related, but it's godly love. A brother-sister love that's so great that it can't be broken. And it's given to us by God's Holy Spirit. We have the power to love that way. But there are some, obviously, their love is not that strong. And it breaks our heart when they leave us. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul goes through all of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we don't have any of these wonderful gifts. We're not speaking in different languages, although some churches out here think they are. And we don't have gifts of healing. We're not out here healing like the apostles were in the foundation of the church in that first century, where God was showing where He was working. Many miracles, even the dead being raised. We don't see that right now. But we probably will. Right immediately before and during the tribulation, there's no doubt that God's going to pour His Spirit out upon His people. The trouble is, when He does that, it's going to mean severe persecution. A more excellent way. That's the very last verse in 1 Corinthians 12. All of these things, I've got all of these gifts, if we had them, to know all mysteries. Wouldn't you like to know the mysteries all about the Bible and to just quote it just, you know, like some of the theologians do? They don't understand the Bible, but they can probably know all about it, they think. Who is the greatest theologian in the Church of God? I don't know. The Apostle Paul. And he said that without love, it's all garbage. How do you like that? I don't care what you know. I've got my little teeny Bible here, and I'm going to read from my little teeny New King James, which I like better. And I'm going to turn to this 1 Corinthians here. You probably already turned there. I have read this entire chapter before in this sermon, but I'm not going to read all of it. But you can read it yourself. Because it says that earnestly desire the best gifts. At that time, God was giving gifts, spiritual gifts. And it was literally turning that part of the world upside down. But he says here, the Apostle Paul is saying, but there is a more excellent way. You mean if I had the gift of raising the dead, that's not too great? Well, that'd be wonderful. But we don't have that gift. We can't speak in different languages that we don't know. We can't all prophesy. We don't have all gifts of healing and miracles. But there is a gift that is freely given that's greater than all of them. And if it doesn't come from our hearts, then it's not love. You're willing to lay down your life for your brother or sister that you're going to live with for eternity. Think about it. And you abandon them when you were a human being and you abandoned your brother and sister, or maybe you betrayed your brother or sister. Jesus says, no way. Those that are lukewarm, I can just barely tolerate coming and seeing all the different races and personalities and backgrounds within the church of God, like the Corinthians did, and they withdrew themselves with all that food that they had, just steaks and whatever they had back then, and the poor people over here was eating breadcrumbs. And Paul condemned them for it. They didn't have love. Because they didn't discern the Lord's body. They didn't love each other. And having a lot, even in America, our problem today and our trial is affluence. Because it drives us away from each other. Well, I don't need them. You know, I've got all this here. I'll just go over here to this other church. Hey, do as you please. You fly straight up, too, if you sprout wings. But I'm going to guarantee you this, that God Almighty is watching how we treat each other, and He's judging us on that. Verse chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm reminded in ancient Judah, the people with a lot of money, the rich people, would come in and they'd have this treasure, this big pot, you know, inside the temple, not inside the Holy of Holies, but all just in the sanctuary. And they'd have this huge pot where people would come and drop their money. And this guy come in, and before him, he was going, man, he got a handful of silver, probably $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 like this. But before he did it, he had the trumpeter to sound before him. Here is Brother Jones. And his wad of money, clink. And here comes this widow that didn't have anything with a little coin that wasn't worth about a penny. And dropped it in. And Jesus said, she's given more than all of them put together. Why? Because she did it out of her penury. Because she loved God's truth. Sounding cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, well, that would be something, wouldn't it? That would really be something. Christ is going to move the mountain when He comes back. Mount of Olives is going to split in two. How would you like to do that? I don't see the mountains right here, but if you had the faith, just say, just be moved over here. And then just start moving. Christ could have done that. He could have done anything that he wanted to. He had the power through the Father, by the Father. Of course, nobody removed mountains even in the first century. None of the apostles did. But all these other gifts were given. And they were absolutely fantastic. And people repented and believed and came into the church of God. But if I can do all of these things, but if I don't have agapeo or phileo, love, brotherly love and godly love, I am nothing. If I could do all those things, it'd make me feel good, man. You just think about all the cameras that would be on me out here. Oh, CBS, NBC, and Fox News. This guy right here is raising the dead. He's raising the dead. I probably wouldn't be alive the next day. If you can't figure that one out, come to me afterwards. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, very notable, wonderful thing to do. And we try to do that in our small amount of income. We try to help the poor as much as we can. And though I give my body to be burned for the truth's sake, okay, burn me. I'm not going to quit doing the Sabbath. Wonderful. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Wait a minute. There's something about this love that he's speaking. We better learn what this word means. If we don't, we could be in the contempt of heaven. Love suffers long. Have you ever suffered long? I know some of you are suffering right now. And you're suffering and you're taking it in stride. And you're leaving it and you put it in God's hands. He can do it. But as Mr. Hill says, he's trying us and testing us. He loves us. He wants us in his family, or you wouldn't know what you know. You wouldn't know the truth about the Sabbath, the holy days, heaven, hell, immortality of the soul, etc., etc., etc. You wouldn't know unless God's Spirit was there. But you can neglect it and grieve it, and God, it can leave you. Love suffers a long time. Sometimes for us it's a lifetime. I've known those who suffered for a lifetime and desperately wanted out of it. But they wouldn't give up the truth. Rather be dead. There's nothing else in the world but the truth of God is worthwhile. Nothing out here. Love does not envy others. Boy, do we envy others. It's got a lot. God is not going to let us have a lot because it'll hurt us. Yes, there's a few rich in the church. I wouldn't say rich. I say upper middle class. But Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man or woman to enter the kingdom of God. It distracts and pulls away. Example, a rich young man, ruler, some kind of ruler, came up to Jesus. He heard about this guy preaching about eternal life. Man, I got to look into that. He said, Lord, what have I got to do to have this eternal life you're preaching about? He said, keep the commandments. He didn't say, just believe in me, son, and you'll be saved. Didn't say that, did he? He said, keep the commandments and name them. But he had to ask which because he had the Talmud and the Midrash and all the these walls that the Jews had built up around the Ten Commandments to where you couldn't get to it. He had to name them, the Ten Commandments. He said, Lord, I've done this since my youth. What did he lack? Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. First of all, he knew that he had another God, and it was his money. And by the way, one of the other loves that I've got written down here is the love of money. He said, go sell everything that you've got and come and follow me and you'll have riches in heaven. And you know the rest of the story. He gave up eternal life. But, however, maybe he'll be in the second resurrection. I rather think he will be. And I think you do too. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Boy, have I seen that. Some of you may not have been in the Worldwide Church of God, but I was in there for 35 years. And you talking about puffed up. Unbelievable. They're all gone. They're not around anymore. They went back into the world. Yes, Christians, those that have God's Spirit, can let human nature puff them up with a little bit of knowledge. Knowledge, mysteries, knowing it, is not important. Love does not behave rudely. How often we get mad at each other? Or we rude to each other because they say or do something that hurts us? It is not easily provoked. People that judge others, hurt others, offend others, they have the problem. The person that's taking it don't. I'll say more about that in a minute. It thinks no evil. Love does not think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, sin, but rejoices in the truth. That's what we're doing here. We're rejoicing because we're here. We're alive. We're waiting for Christ to burst out of the heavens. And that right soon. And we want to be here. We want to be doing these things. We want to be treating each other like Christ commanded us to treat each other. Because if we can't be with them for eternity. Do you understand that, brethren? You're not willing to give your life for each other. You're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Because Christ gave His life for us. He laid it down and He showed us an example of love that we should follow it. I know we're different. Man, I've seen people so different that it... wonder how they ever got along with each other. But the Spirit of God can do it. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Endures all things. Endures trials. We endure those trials and we don't give up, brethren. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for us. And if you don't have a trial right now, rejoice in God and give Him thanks and glory if you everything is going pretty well right now. Give Him thanks. And help others that they're not going well because there's plenty of us where we need encouragement and help. Yes, God loves us and yes, Christ is for us, but they're in heaven. But your brothers and sisters are here on the earth, you see. And we're to encourage each other, lift each other up, suffer with each other, all of these things. Jesus said, if you suffer with me a little while, you'll rule with me. Christ is still suffering because He sees the suffering of His very own people that must be, and it hurts His heart, although He has the control to be able to contain it. Christ is still suffering because of us. We're waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, and that's coming up. Love never fails. Whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will fail. They will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay. What's left? Verse 13. And thou abide faith, hope and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We have the power of love. We can do this. Look into each other's eyes and see the Holy Spirit in there. Pay attention to each other. We all have different personalities. But under the cross of life, or I should say, asparos of Christ, we're all the same. Nobody. We are to esteem each other better than the other. Can you do that? Scripture says that. You all know about the love chapter. I know you know about it in verse 13. We've been reading about it. Make a note of that chapter. It is a more excellent way. And here's the beautiful thing about it. God looks upon when you... And I'm going to go through these ways that we can love. God looks down upon that, and He is absolutely ecstatic in His heart, the Father and the Son, when we show love to each other. Unlike if we could heal everybody, or speak in Swahili, or Farsi, or Greek, or Hebrew. It doesn't impress God. What impresses Him is of the heart. It impresses Him. It pleases Him. You had fathers and mothers. When you did something for them, something that was good and right, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, they just, their heart just fluttered with love for you. God is no different. He is a Father. Jesus is our brother. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. In John 13, it continues this dialogue about love. John the 13th chapter. Verses 34 and 35, I believe, if I'm not correct. Well, it is what I was telling you before, but I haven't read it. Let me read it to you. Mark it in your Bible. I had a man of a long standing in the Church of God, that told me, we were speaking about this, the Ten Commandments, and I said, well, the new commandment that Jesus gave, that is, fervently love one another. He said, well, if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're doing that. I said, no way, Jose. This is a new commandment. Many people in the Old Testament kept those commandments perfectly. The rich young ruler didn't love. There's something more that God's Holy Spirit gives us. Love is shed abroad in our heart by His Holy Spirit. You have the power of love. It says, a new commandment I give to you. Brand new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. As you also love one another. And what did Jesus do? He went through a horrible beating. They mauled that man. Isaiah says he was marred more than any other man. He did it willingly, because all those disciples that He loved, desperately loved, He said, Father, I desire that they be with Me in My kingdom. And the people that were stoning Him to death, that were spitting in His face, beating Him with whips, spitting on Him, hanging Him up on that stake, and that burly, big, brawny, sweaty Roman that was beating Him, and just loving every minute of it, Jesus loved that man. Love your enemies. Can we do that? Many people went away from Jesus when He said that. They didn't follow Him anymore, because in Judea, you hated your enemies. And the God of the Old Testament did tell Israel to destroy certain evil people. And that God of the Old Testament is the same as the one of the New Testament. And He says, well, now we're going to love people now. We're going to love our enemies. And we're not going to retaliate against them. That doesn't mean that Israel, America, is not allowed to protect itself militarily. We're speaking spiritually now, not physically. Separate the two. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you just believe in Jesus. And you know that I didn't read that right. By this all men will know that you are My disciples if you go to church every Sunday. He said, if you love one another. When you go into a congregation of God, even those out here, they can witness and know that there's something special about this group, an affinity that's there. The Holy Spirit is there. Even those on the outside can tell when the Holy Spirit is around. They can feel this. And this is the fulfillment of this, of course, is in the kingdom of God. When then the world would know, yes, they were God's disciples. Because they'll see us as we were and as we are as we're in the kingdom of God. The people will know us by keeping the Sabbath. Well, that is a test commandment. True. And it was in the Old Testament. And it set Israel apart, didn't it? It is still a test commandment. But the final test commandment is this, verse 35. That everybody will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I cannot implant that within you. I can't. I can only tell you what Jesus Christ is commanding you to do. Don't get upset with each other. We're different in many ways. But we're all going want to be in the same place. If we go this more excellent way, it purifies our hearts. It makes us pure in God's sight. In James, the second chapter, or the first chapter, verse 27 says, pure and undefiled before God is this, to sit on my duff and never do anything, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. And in James 2:14-17, it says, faith without works is dead. We've got to do something. And he goes through all the works of love. The Apostle James goes through, and he goes through not only the commandments of God, but all the commandments of love and how you love by showing your love. You can say, well, I love the church. I love everybody there. Well, prove it. That's what Jesus said. Prove it. You had bad feelings to one another lately? You repented of it? If you haven't, shame on you. Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand of God, and his heart is still suffering because of what the biting and backbiting, gossiping and tale-bearing that God's own chosen people do. Why? Because we still got human nature. But we have the power to get rid of it. It says in John 3:17-18, but whosoever has this world's goods, and boy do we in America, and sees his brethren in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, we probably all are well enough off to where we don't need things, but we need encouragement. We need prayer for each other. We need a visit. We need a phone call. We need to go to God with somebody else's trouble and say, God, please intervene. And you see a brother suffering. Miss a meal or two. Miss a whole day of food and pray for that brother or sister. The time is coming that we're going to have to be doing this, brethren. It's going to get rough out here. I'm telling you this beforehand. It says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent love. Now that is the agapeo and also the phileo love. It is a combination, fervent love. Go beyond just a brother or sister. Just kind of love that Jesus had for us. Because he had the Spirit. And if Jesus did not have his Father's Spirit, he could not have done what he did, and he could not have loved the way he did. He would never went through that horrible beating and crucifixion. And we have that same Spirit. Not as much. He had the Spirit without measure. It's measured to us, but God can increase it in us when we show deeds of love for each other. It says, love will cover a multitude of sins. And we do sin. We know we do, don't we? I do. I'll confess it to you. I have weaknesses and I sin. And I'm ashamed of it. Because Jesus and God the Father doesn't want us to be that way. We take our belt off and we spank our little ones when they do something that's going to hurt them. That's why we have trials and tests and suffering that Jesus, that God gives to us, as Carl said, to help us to understand the most important and most excellent way is to love each other. We're to be, as Colossians 2:14 says, to knit together in love. Now, you know what knitting is. You knit together a lot of things, you know, like little doilies and things. You knit them together. And they're just like this. We're not to be strangers with each other. We are to be knit together in love. Godly love. And when Christ comes, you won't have to be left behind. In the twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed from mortal to immortal because you have loved others. Love yourself less than you do others. Esteem others better than yourselves. The world don't, brethren. They parade in nothing. I shouldn't say this, but it's funny to me. Some of these evangelists on TV, if it wasn't so serious, I would be on the floor rolling in laughter. This guy that preaches for the Crystal Cathedral, and he got this red robe on with white, and he, like this. You've probably seen him. It makes me sick, and they're deceiving people. I'm going to turn to Colossians 3:12-14. Colossians. I think that's after Ephesians. Yeah, Colossians 3:12-14. There's another scripture that says, brethren, I think is one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible. And it says, he who loves, the way I'm talking to you now, the kind of love that God Christ commanded, he who loves has passed from death to life. Right as you live and breathe right now, can you do that? And do you do that? In Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, yes, we've been picked out from the world. Who, me? Are you kidding me? Well, he can't possibly have chosen me. I'm just a dumb country boy. What in the world is he doing putting me up here doing this? God can speak through a jackass if he wants to, and he did. I had to say that. Holy and beloved of Christ and God the Father. Please write these things down because this is godly love. Or mark it in your Bible. Therefore, as the elect, because you have been called and elected to be in the first resurrection, here's what God commands you to do. Put on tender mercies. It's hard to do sometimes. Even people in the world, yes. Tender mercies. Do things that hurt us, upset us. Want to strike back at them. That car pulled out in front of me. No, Jesus wouldn't do that, would he? Kindness when nobody deserves it. Somebody don't deserve kindness at all. They don't deserve kindness. My daughter had a wreck in the car here about 4 months ago, put a little old dent in the car. sitting out there, not, you can't hardly see it. She was so kind. The girl said, please don't call the police. Said, you know, I've already had one wreck, and okay, I won't call the police. She said, just, we'll fix it for you. I carried it home to my dad. Carried it home. I said, you mean you didn't get a police report? Then I just couldn't do it. I felt so sorry for that young girl at Union University in Jackson, student. Well, I said, well, we're going to get some bids on it, and we're going to get this car fixed. I wasn't very kind, I know. I mean, come on, the guy did this to my car. I want it fixed. We got some bids, sent it to him. And I mean, you can probably see it out there. You can't even see it hardly, but they wanted $800 to fix that sucker. I thought, I'm crazy. I said, well, we got to do this and do that and straighten that fender out. I said, but it ain't 15 cents worth of work. So I sent those bids to the father, and my wife was saying, please don't forget it. And God will make it up to us. Well, I haven't heard from them. We don't have a police report. We've forgiven them for it. I'm not even worried about it anymore, not even thinking about it. Because my daughter didn't want to get that little girl in trouble. That was kindness. And my wife's kindness. Put on humility. Humility is thinking less of yourself than others. Not pompous, puffed up. Meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. Those that think, put to that esteem others better than themselves. Just remember that. And long suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer a long time before somebody that we love changes. And we have to suffer in it. Sometimes it's sickness. We have to just wait. There again, that's building character. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Well, I'm going to give you three scriptures that I'm not going to turn to on forgiveness. If Jesus said, if you will not forgive those others who have hurt you, you will not be forgiven either, and you will not be in the kingdom of God. This is the ultimate in love. It takes godly love to forgive others who hurt you. The spirit of forgiveness, Matthew 18:32-35. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Matthew 5:44-45. Jesus said, after the disciples said, well, Lord, how many times we got to forgive? Seven times? Somebody keeps hurting you over and over and over and over again. Somebody keeps hitting my car over and over and over again. He said, 70 times seven. Now, I'm not saying that somebody blasts your car and mutilates it that you should not, don't deserve to get it fixed, because you do. But there are times you don't do that. As I have experienced. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must forgive them. As Mike Garrett said, he just said, I don't know how else to phrase it. If you don't forgive others who hurt you, God is not going to forgive you of your sins, which you commit every day. Forget it until you repent. And when you do, even though you're on the threshold of sin in other ways, and sometimes you do, but when you love others in this way, it covers those other sins. Think about it. Move mountains, raise the dead, it's meaningless. It's how you treat each other right here. Yes, it does. And He's holding us responsible for it. In Philippians 2:3, it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or consider others, particularly in the church of God, better than himself. And I ask you, do we do that, brother? I hope and pray that you all do, and I hope and pray that you'll do that to each other and pray for each other, that we'll reach that pinnacle to where God loves us so much or requires us to love in the way that He's required us over there in John. That He'll say, they did it. They did it. Look. They've turned their other cheek. Look. Father, look at there. They have absolutely fought off the fiery darts of Satan by wanting to hate somebody and not forgive. And the Father loves it. You can't be up there. The whole kingdom of God is going to be run by this kind of love. God is not going to give you the powers of the universe without you first doing what He says. And it's more than the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm about through now. So don't get upset. James 3:17 says that we must be willing to yield. Just don't say anything. Just somebody upset you, just don't say anything. Without partiality, because God is not a respecter of persons. We're all the same. It don't matter who we are. If God has given to us His Holy Spirit, we must love each other and be willing to give our lives for each other, because we want to be with each other in the kingdom of God forever. God wants to see what you're going to do now while you're still human. And if you do it with Satan and the world and your own human nature fighting against you, then surely God can trust us in eternity to give us the powers of the universe, which He will do, and He is going to do. It says in Matthew 7:1-2, I'm going to ask you to read that chapter. I'm going to ask you to read that real good, because it is very serious indeed. It is very serious for you and I. It is human nature, brethren, in the church of God, much more in the world, we know that, but in the church of God, it is a very serious and deadly thing to make judgments about others, about looks, finances, educational backgrounds, races, creeds. And sometimes God's people can upset others. Maybe they say the wrong things. Just let it go. You want to help the person? Pray for him. Judge not that you be not judged. Yes, God will judge us. And we retaliate. Or as He told Peter before Peter was converted, Peter, you're kicking against the pricks. That is, you're retaliating every time somebody does something to you. You want to knock their head off. Or take the sword and cut somebody's head off. They don't do that, Peter. That ain't the way we're going to run the kingdom of God. For what, with what judgment that you judge, and you may be 100% right about it, when you're judging someone else, well, he did this or he did that, they did this, she did that, the same kind of judgment God is going to judge you. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Or in other words, and you've heard it, you reap what you sow. Ephesians 5:27 admonishes us to do all these things that we may present ourselves to Himself, a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle. God's Holy Spirit gives us the power to love, as Jesus says. It just does. But we haven't reached that pinnacle yet. But we are here a stable group of people. But you must, what? It says through the Apostle Paul, Christ says, now you know all the truth now. You know what the Church of God knows, the intercontinental Church of God. Go on now to perfection. We've been speaking about perfection. Only this kind of love can lead us to the perfection that Jesus Christ, our brother and the Father, wants us to have. Then we'll be ready when He comes. We'll be ready. We won't have any spot or wrinkle. We won't have any hatred toward anybody. We will have forgiven. And don't be afraid to go to your brother and sister and ask for forgiveness. Because they're required to forgive you from the heart. The greatest power that God has given to us, brethren, of all of these wonderful gifts, which we don't have anyway, which we may have later on, when God wants to point to where He's working. And that greatest power of all, God gives us to each one of us to perfect, and that is the power of love, of loving each other. I don't know of any other way to state it. There's many more scriptures on this. You don't see these type of scriptures in the Old Testament. Jesus brought a new commandment, and this is it. We want to be in God's kingdom? Got to go on to that more excellent way. Go on to perfection. And you're going to be running up against situations every day. These scriptures are going to pop up in your mind. And you'll be ready for it. And in conclusion, finally,